Gracious, loving Father, we worship you this day, knowing that it is by the power of your love and your grace and mercy extended to each of our lives that we can come into your presence. We thank you for your cross, your death, your resurrection, whereby you have affirmed that eternal salvation that belongs to all who believe and have faith. Bless us this day as we look at what it is to be bound to Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are bound to Christ. In verse 27 of the epistle, Paul says this, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you in or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened by anything by your opponents." Those are interesting words that Paul writes from a prison cell, knowing full well that he may never see them. And yet the reality is, Paul wants us to be able to see that wonderful good news of the gospel. Salvation is not something we earn. Salvation is not something we build up in our lives. But it is by being bound to Christ and Christ alone. It would have been easy for me, because I first set out to work on these texts. These are interesting pericopes today. The Old Testament affirms to us that the prophet encourages God's people. "For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then we have the gospel reading, a very tough parable, oftentimes misunderstood or sometimes misused. From the human perspective, the gospel parable smacks of unfairness. Oh, we love to talk about in the world in which we live how things are not fair. And yet, that is not how the gospel parable ought to be read. It is a picture of God's love and grace for His creation. It is lived out on a cross, the cross of Christ, where that grace is extended to a criminal on his right hand. Think about that as he tells this parable. Here is one on the cross, really, who we know about, who really has no reason to be saved, and yet at that very last moment, God pardons him of his sin and welcomes him to the kingdom of God. And sometimes we cry, unfair, out of bounds. Because you see, in the world in which we find ourselves, we often struggle. We struggle with the issue of fairness. While the master does what he says he will do, we oftentimes think, well, he wasn't very fair. And yet he was, because he gave them exactly each what he told them he would give them. Throughout the scriptures, we see this theme come up several different times. You know, there are those who want to take the best seats in the house and reminded that we should take the low seat until we are invited to take the upper seat at the table. Some ask the question of greatness in the kingdom. Who is the greatest? Because we want to know where we really stand with God. And some, well, we're just sure that if we do enough, God will reward us. And you can add to that list in your own life. When do you really think about what it is to be bound to Christ? I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served the advance of the gospel, Paul says. Now, Paul's sitting in a prison cell. Paul's not sure he's ever going to see the light of day from that cell, and yet look at what he is able to do from a prison cell. There he advances the gospel. There we have some beautiful letters written to the variety of churches, sharing the message of the gospel and the good news that belongs to all of us to help others know and be able to realize God's grace at work in their lives. That God's grace is not for a select few, but God's grace is extended to all mankind. And rather than sitting in a prison cell moping and wondering about all the things that might be, Paul takes an advantage of sharing the good news by writing some very beautiful letters to a variety of churches. Because in the midst of his own struggles, he knows that there is a message that needs to be shared, a message that we all ought to want to share. In my ministry, I've been blessed a number of times, encouraged by people who have lived out the gospel in powerful ways in the midst of some tremendous struggles. And in the midst of those struggles, they were a witness to me and to others. Here's Paul, sitting in prison, and he writes these letters of encouragement to the various churches. He talks to them about the need to understand God's grace and love and forgiveness. Here he is talking to the Philippians, and he's telling them, you ought to be encouraged by one another. Because maybe some of them also were struggling or imprisoned, just like he had. Now it's interesting because in the reading that we have, there are a few verses missing, verses 15 to 18, and they're left out of that reading. I'm not sure exactly why, but as I looked at those, I thought, they also have something to say to us. And here are those verses. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. You ever wonder that sometimes people may have the wrong motives when they talk about the gospel of Christ? I know when we were at the SEM, we were taught that, you know, a pastor may be having his own struggles and may not even be fully engaged in what he ought to be doing. And yet, does that cancel out the good news? Because the message of Christ, Paul would remind us, is very important and it ought to be shared. And as he says to them, whatever way it happens, the good news is that Christ is proclaimed. That's the power of the gospel at work in all of our lives. And Paul, sitting in a prison cell, realizes the power of being bound to Christ. How through that time in prison, through his meeting with individuals, through his relationship with the prison guards, he is able to continue to share the good news of Christ. And he continues to move ministry forward. For 3 years, Trinity has been in transition. But who has never left us in the midst of that transition? At the center of that has always been the gospel. God has been that firm rock on which we have based everything we do. God was our guide. God was our motivator. And God led us through various situations together. Yet through them all, God was at work. as we began the journey, I reminded you that God was always there and will always be there, and He has been. As you make another transition to that new time together with your new pastor, a great young man that God has sent you, he's called to be your shepherd. Be bound to Christ in working with Him to move forward the wonderful good news of the gospel. As people and pastor share with one another and grow through that sharing and proclaim together the power of God's love and grace and mercy. And let your manner, your life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Never be ashamed of that gospel, for it is the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in Christ, for which each of you have salvation. You, as God's people in this place, have an opportunity to work with a new pastor, to share, to stand up together, side by side, for the sake of spreading the good news of Christ. The reality is Satan will work overtime. He'll try to keep you from moving forward. And yet, as Paul found himself in prison, what did he do? He didn't waddle in his situation. But he was afraid, but he knew that even all that was happening to him, the power of Christ was at work. I would challenge all of you sitting here this morning, as you look around this sanctuary on a Sunday morning, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some will be here as they sit in your presence with all kinds of struggles, wondering how much more will there be. And yet, they need to hear the gospel, the good news of what God has done. We don't need to know everybody's individual struggles, but we do need to love one another with that love that only Christ can bring into our lives. To shower that love to each person that enters those doors out there. It is about sharing the peace of Christ with one another. Satan will work in your ministry as well. There will be struggles as a congregation. And yet, as we have talked about, there is the power of forgiveness. There is the need of confession and absolution. And in those moments, you need to see that situation, whatever it may be, through God's grace, love, and mercy. Because God will always be there. That's the power of the cross, death, and resurrection of Christ. And as you set out on this ministry together, it is the power of the Reformation. Realizing all that God has done for us in sending His one and only Son. It is about how we are saved by grace. It is not our own doing. It is a gift. And that's the whole thing of the gospel reading too. Here's the Master pouring out His grace, His love upon those. Do they really deserve it? Do you and I deserve it? No. That's the power of His grace at work. Celebrate the gift of the manger, the light of Epiphany, the journey to the cross. Always in the power of the resurrection. Take every conflict as an opportunity to be found and bound to Christ. When you're feeling low, go to God's Word. Read, rejoice in the salvation that belongs to each and every one of you. To all who believe, here is your strength to encounter every situation in Christ. And so Paul would remind us in that epistle, as he encourages the Philippians, so it is our encouragement and your encouragement to live in the power of his cross, death, and resurrection. Being bound to Christ will take you to new places, new ministries, and a wonderful, joyous, filled time sharing the good news with one another. Amen.